Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
It's true. Pylon Spector's cousin to the hold me back.
That's the NBA, hold me back.
It's not even a Pylon Spector moment. Like, after watching Patrick Mahomes yesterday, the first thing, I almost texted Key, I was like, see, this is why I don't play. That's why I won't play football.
Oh, Mahomes took a shot.
He's leaning forward and his neck just snapped back due to the knee. I can't. I wouldn't be able to move. No, hell no.
No.
I'm out. I'm done.
How do you think he feel this morning?
I don't know.
Same way. You know what's so funny, though? He feels the same way this morning as he felt last week, the week before that. Nothing's changed. His body's always going to be aching.
Ugh.
But that did look vicious. I was just glad that he was able to get up under his own power and kind of walk off, you know. Because it didn't look right.
No.
Well, because when you're getting hit like that, all that force, man, them dudes, the big old linemen and all that sort of stuff with them knees and all that power coming from them hips.
Nope.
That stuff, that's like a lot of guys get concussed and things of that nature. You like, you good? Foul.
Ah! My fingernail. That's
the thing about the NFL, which is like a metaphor for war and territory and all that stuff, right? But
nope.
You don't have, like, boxing, at least you know where it's coming from. In other words, there's a guy right in front of you.
I don't know where it's coming from. Yeah. I don't know what the hell you talking about, Max. I watched Ali's documentary on PBS, and I'm good.
Max, I've been sparring all my life. I don't know where it's coming from.
But the point is, there's a dude in front of you. There's a dude in front of you with two hands just like you.
Fair.
You see, NFL, the randomness, or at least the apparent, you tell me if it's not as random as it looks, of the violence. I've been on the sidelines of an NFL game. Nothing meets comfortably. Everything meets at jagged edges. It's bodies flying, high speed. It's shots coming from 360 degrees practically. I mean, it's chaotic. It's not.
It's different. It's like being in a car accident every single day. It really, truly is.
Oh.
I mean, I know, right?
Why would I want that?
Yeah, where do you get the love to keep playing?
That's what I'm saying. Y'all built so differently, man.
I'm not built like anything anymore. Hell roll with you. You almost made me cuss. I say it every single time. They got to be some damn fools to be playing the NFL. Like something really wrong with them dudes. Like, I don't know if I told you this story before, Max or Jay, but I went, one of the first times I went back to an NFL game, and when I was retired, I went to the San Francisco 49ers New England Patriot game. And I was standing on the sideline, you know, the pregame coming and standing there. And them dudes walk past me, and Patrick Willis's and them big old Staley's at the tackle. I said to myself, and I was only a year removed. But I said, man, I had to be a damn fool to want to play football. Because when I'm looking at it now from the outside looking in, I'm like, oh, yeah, something was really wrong with me. Like, I was really crazy to really perform at the level in which I perform. I wasn't a dude that just wore a jersey. I actually was in the trenches and played the game. You know what I'm saying? So it was a little bit different. And them dudes, man, Kaepernick walked past me. Kaepernick was so damn big. I was like, that's a quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember playing with big dudes, obviously, but it just felt different.
It's changed.
It just felt different when I was on the outside with the suit on, all clean. Them dudes, you know, they look at me. I was like,
You got used to civilian life.
Yeah, I was like, no, hell no.
Mm. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on the Goodyear Hotline.
I'm going to start posting things of myself online, too.
A picture.
Some of that stuff.
Go ahead, Max.
The Giants won a football game, by the way. The New York football Giants won a game. I don't think they've won a game since you were playing, Key, as a matter of fact, talking about your playing days. When was the last time the Giants won a game? But they beat the Panthers, and Daniel Jones even made a nice one-handed catch on a throw from Dante Pettis. Daniel Jones, guys, to me, look good for a guy who didn't have his team with him. And I've been up and down on Daniel Jones, and Key, even last time you were like, look, I went to a Giants game in person. I don't know if he's going to be it. And every time with Daniel Jones, I get to that place, he does something like this that makes me think, okay, he can play.
It's fine. It's not bad, not good. He's fine. Right? I mean, he made the great catch, and it's New York, so the catch is going to be, you know, we're going to make it bigger than what it is. But the catch is not even the impressive part. The impressive part is the fact that he was getting ready to take a shot. It took the shot and still held on to the ball. That's the
guy with a fumbling problem.
He's a quarterback. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those dudes ain't made like that to be taking those type of hits, playing that position, catching the ball.
So I yelled at the TV during this play, Max. And, yes, they won the game. But these are the things as a fan where I start going down this path where I get really frustrated.
Because
we got Barkley out, we got Shepherd out, we got Tony out. And now we're going to draw up a play that literally it puts our starting quarterback – it was like he was hung out there now. That ball
Jay,
came.
You're so right.
That ball came 2 seconds later. He would have gotten cracked, and we would have been having a different conversation today.
Cracked.
Hold up. Jay, you are
so
right.
That's not a football term. I don't give a damn. We would have been having a completely different conversation
today. Because, you're so right, because what was he out for when he had the concussion and everything? He took on a defender at the goal line. And got knocked out.
And but now we're going to play him in that. But I know, but that just everybody's like, oh, the catch. I just see a vulnerable quarterback just extended. I'm like,
yeah,
Lord.
That's why I said that was the impressive thing is that he was able to hold onto the ball knowing that he could potentially get shellacked in that situation.
Shellacked.
But the play was a well-designed play. It didn't develop like they hoped. Jason Garrett didn't design the play to get the quarterback knocked out. They was hoping that it would be cleaner than what it was. And then the throw, I think, was a little faster than probably what they anticipated because the safeties didn't do everything they wanted them to do.
But that's Jay's point. There are too many variables that could go wrong to be running your quarterback out there, even though it worked. Jay, that's a great point.
Well,
but it was not smart, right?
Well, first of all, so we want to criticize the coaching staff right now, right? We want
to No, I'm not criticizing the coaching staff.
I do. I want to criticize them.
All right.
The play shouldn't have been run in that part of the field. You don't run that play.
Sideline?
No, you run that play closer to the red zone where you could score a touchdown. You don't see people running in the field. That part is not smart. It's like you're at the 50-yard line, you're running. No, you get down to about the 20. You get because when he catches it, it should be a touchdown.
If you're going to take that risk, get 7 out of it.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. All right. Daniel Jones, by the way, had something to say about his first career reception.
Pretty unathletic route getting out there, so he put it out there for me, and just tried to pull it in. But good play and a good design, something we'd worked on all week, and good throw by Dante.
Well, I mean, while Daniel Jones was, I thought Daniel Jones played, considering the circumstances, I thought he played very well, actually.
He did. The O-line played very well. He only got sacked 2 times, and you also have to give the Giants defense a ton of credit because they didn't allow barely any conversions on third down options for the Panthers, right? Their defense really stepped up.
The defense looked good, but that brings us to the other part of the conversation. The defense looked good. The other quarterback did not. And Sam Darnold, I don't know if people in New York remember him, used to play for the Jets. In case you don't remember, Evan, are you aware that Sam Darnold used to play for the Jets? Do you remember that?
Yeah, he saw ghosts.
He was benched after passing for
yesterday.
Benched.
It was pretty spooky for him, too.
Yeah, after passing for 111 yards and an interception in his return to MetLife Stadium. Matt Rhule says Darnold will start for the Panthers next week, but rumors continue about the Panthers and Deshaun Watson. Key, you brought up, this is what I mean by like, the NFL may not be a place anymore for guys who'll be fine in the right situation, like you say, because Darnold's one of those guys. Maybe he's not great, he's not awful, in the right situation he can play, but now he was put into a pretty good situation and he got benched already.
Yeah, he did get benched. without Christian McCaffrey, he looks like a different quarterback.
No doubt.
I mean, he did well against the Cowboys, but since then, it's going to that jet-like type situation. Why that is, I have no idea. Is it Joe Brady calling different plays because McCaffrey's not part of the system? Is it Sam Darnold feeling like he has to do too much because he's not part of the system right now with an injury? Like, what is it that has gotten him to regress from where he was 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago? Where is that?
But isn't it, like, part of being the difference between a guy who can start some games and a starter? The difference between a starter and a franchise player and MVP, is at each level, it's an issue of consistency, is it? Isn't it? Like, he's good. I even felt like this with him
in
college.
He's a tease.
He's a tease. Yeah. That's a great way to put it. He has flashes, but he's not consistent.
And how do you get that consistency? You just keep working on it, and you hope that he's a young enough quarterback to where whatever it is that's holding him back, he comes out of it.
Guys like that especially, boy, you really need the right situation as they develop. Because when Evan was saying he sees ghosts, that's what will happen to a quarterback that's not Justin Herbert-level talent, can do everything right away. If he's not in the right situation, it's going to impede his development, maybe in a permanent way.
But like he might be in the right situation, though, Max. Mm-hmm.
No, but I'm saying with the right Jets, situation. That situation for 3 years, it can
Wilson.
Damage you.
Zach
it can
Wilson.
Damage you.
Yeah, get ready for Arch Manning. Arch Manning will be the next quarterback of the New York Jets in about 3 years.
No, there's somebody in between.
There's got to be somebody in between.
That's why I'm saying, like, we're trying to judge Zach Wilson right now.
You can't.
You can't. How can you make
you
a judgment of this dude right now? It's impossible.
I can.
You don't like him?
No, I can't. Just because he makes one big throw a game, this doesn't. Jeff George made one big throw a game, too. So, yeah. I don't trust the organization, and I'm not in love with everything that they're doing. It just doesn't work.
But you can say that about pretty much all these rookie QB situations. I mean, with the exception maybe of Trey Lance, but that's even under question with Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch to a degree. I mean, same with Justin Fields. Look at his situation. I mean, look, when you get drafted high, you go to bad situations.
No,
the one thing about the Jets is that they tried to retool it, but I'm not going to make a crazy assumption based in, 6 weeks of NFL football.
Yeah, I never was high on him. I wasn't extremely high on him coming out of BYU. He missed time due to injury. Here we are already due to injury again. Getting ready to miss some time. Not all his fault, obviously, but I don't think they, as an organization, has given me the confidence that they're going to be okay long term. I have the confidence in the New England Patriots and Mac Jones long term because they've shown me in a short period of time they know what to do with a young quarterback in terms of putting him in the right situation to succeed.
We gotta get Eddie George in here. Zach Wilson had an offensive line in college. Mac Jones has one now. Justin Fields doesn't. Zach Wilson doesn't now. I mean, a lot of that comes down to that. Keyshawn J. Willimax presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com. Titans have the best running back in football. And we are thrilled to be joined by a former Titans running back, speaking of big, strong backs, on the Goodyear Hotline. Good morning, Eddie George.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing this morning?
What's up, Eddie?
What's up, Eddie? How you doing, brother?
Hey, what's up, Jay? What's up, Key? How you doing, man?
Good, man. I'm just, watching pro football, college football. I'm still trying to figure out what my invitation is to the Tennessee State game, but I ain't going to beg,
Nah, you always welcome. You know that.
Okay, just make sure
you can come down. You can come down next week, actually, for homecoming. That'd be good for you to come through, man.
Oh, next week?
I had some plans. You see how he backed out real quick, Eddie?
Called your bluff.
No. I'll be on the West Coast next weekend. I'll be on the West Coast.
Yeah, you're going to be on the West Coast.
Yeah.
Hey,
Tennessee, the Titans, that is, they got a big victory yesterday against the Kansas City Chiefs. And Derrick Henry, obviously, top running back in the game, leading the league in every category you could think of from a running back situation the last couple years, remind me a lot of you at times. What makes him as good as he is?
Oof. Well, certainly, Key, it's his size. I mean, the size and stature, number one, his ability to impose his will on defense is a problem. But with the added element that you have to factor in is his breakaway ability. He's a home run hitter that can beat you up. He's like a combination of Earl Campbell and Chris Johnson, in terms of his speed. He's probably not as fast as Chris, but no one's catching him. He's got a few 99-yard runs, a couple of them under his belt. He can wear you down. He can hit the long run, and he's very patient with his game. Prior to him taking over the helm, 2-3 years ago after DeMarco Murray left, he was impatient and he was trying to hit the home run. But it was after a while, I had a chance to talk to him. I said, you want to be able to settle him up, beat him up in between the tackles to set up the longer runs. and my God, this guy has just been on fire ever since then. That's what makes him dangerous. And now, you know, he's added over the last couple of years his ability to catch out the backfield. So he's become the complete running back, and he's doing things that the league has never seen before.
Eddie, where have you seen the improvements? I mean, it's such a juxtaposition, right? You lose to the Jets a couple of weeks ago, and then you bounce back and you beat the Bills, and you beat the Chiefs. But what have you seen improvement-wise from their defense, per se?
Yeah, I think it's up front. I think the one of the things that they were looking to do was get a better pass rush up front. They brought in Bud Dupree, who hasn't played a whole lot, but they're getting out a lot out of their front seven. They played very aggressive on last Monday night against the Bills. Gabriel's turned up enough stops to pull out the victory there, and they were just magnificent yesterday, and really taking away Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs' quick strike offense. So really, the defensive side of the football has been the key. They've always been able to score points. The difference is in this year, and why they're number one right now in the AFC, is the fact that their defense is playing sound football.
Eddie George, Tennessee State head coach, four-time Pro Bowler, two-time All-Pro, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. So with all that being said, EG, is this a team that can they be Super Bowl contenders at this point of the season?
You know what? I think so. If Tannehill continues to play well, be solid for them at the quarterback position, they can continue to play great defense. And, of course, this depends on Derrick Henry. I think they have a great shot. I mean, this is, we're approaching, late October, early November. We're almost at the halfway point. It's really tough to say. I think you have to still look at the Chiefs. I think they'll figure it out at some point in time. The Ravens are also still a formidable opponent, although they lost to Cincinnati yesterday. I think in terms of winning their division, yes, I don't see the Colts really contending with the Titans and the Jaguars. They're having their issues, and the Texans are just putrid at this point. They're about to do a whole overhaul of their whole program there. So I think the Titans right now are sitting pretty. I really do. They're riding high. If they can stay healthy, their defense can continue to gel and they can win the games that they're supposed to win, I think they'll be right in the thick of things.
Eddie, you've been knowing Mike Vrabel for quite some time. You played together at The Ohio State University when y'all didn't want to see us in the Rose Bowl. Never mind. But has he impressed you as a head coach? Did you know when he got this job in Tennessee that he would – be right in the thick of things, or did you have your questions?
No, I didn't, Key. Mike, his pedigree's strong. He's a player at Pittsburgh, player at Kansas City, player at the New England Patriots. He comes from that Belichick tree. He's coached under Urban Meyer in college. Went down to the Texans, with D.C. down there for a while, had a position close to the defensive line. And me knowing Mike and how great of a competitor that he is, we always thought that he was going to be one of two things, be a head coach in the football league or a head straight coach somewhere, because he's just that passionate about the game. He's built like that. He's built tough. They mimic his identity. He's mentally strong. He demands a lot, demands excellence. And he's going to go out and find the pieces and parts to create what he wants to create. And that's what you're seeing. There's not a lot of flash to this team. They'll beat you up. They play great defense. They run the football. And that's what he preaches, great, solid special teams. And that's who he is. So I'm not surprised at all about his success, what he's been able to do. Listen, two years ago, he played Kansas City in the AFC Championship game. We're one game away from playing in the Super Bowl. So to me, he is one of the top head coaches in the league right now.
Yeah. So we all noticed your first season as a head coach at Tennessee State. Are you getting any sleep? Has it gone according to plan? Or are you like, man, I can't wait for the season to be over so I can get out of here?
Nah, man. You know what, Keyshawn? It's been a wonderful experience. I mean, we got off to a slow start. Started off at 1-3. Right now, we fought our way out the hole. Right now, we're sitting at 4-3 right now on a 3-game win streak. The first 3-game win streak since 2017. We're finding out who we are. The thing that I love about coaching, man, is that at this point in my life, I can pour into young men. I never thought I would be in this position, never thought that I would love coaching, but to challenge these young men to live, be better men, and to live great lives is like really a personal development program through football. And they're starting to buy in. And that's been the most fun, is seeing them excited, seeing the discipline, all the things that don't require talent, you know, preaching that stuff. The stuff that we thought was corny as players, I'm using that same blueprint now. I'm like, oh, I see why they preach this stuff.
You know why, Eddie? Because that stuff follows you for the rest of your life, man. Those are the same principles you live by every day as an adult.
Yeah. Yeah, you really do. And I see it. Those come full circle. And I'm loving it, man. I would love for you to come down. And I actually give a pregame speech, Keith, to my team. And I would pay for you to come down to Nashville.
Ooh. No, I will, you know me, Eddie.
Can you do it over Zoom?
No, Eddie, you know I'm going to come.
Tennessee State budget
I just got to find a time. No, I'm going to come. I'm going to go for sure. He ain't going to Ohio State to coach no time soon. So, right? You're not going to take the Ohio State job once Ryan Day leaves to go to USC to take that job. You're not going to take the Ohio State job, are you?
Jeez.
Oh, no. I have no intention. I love Nashville right now. I love what I'm doing.
This is how Keith says.
I really have not thought about that far.
This man, Eddie George, says, hey, come down and give a speech to my team. And this is how you say, hey, thanks for that. I'll go do it. We're talking
Ohio State.
But Eddie already knows once I get my schedule together, I'm going to be on the front door. Yeah. He already knows. It's not hard. Y'all see me with my Tennessee State sweatshirt on.
That schedule won't clear up until about 2023.
No, that's not true.
He's got his businesses.
I'm coming.
And he got to go to AD, ask him to extend that budget, you know?
Boy, if you don't stop, what?
I know you have a high asking price.
That is the Tennessee State head coach, Eddie George. Also, by the way, happened to be a 4-time Pro Bowler, 2-time All-Pro, Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah, him and Sean Springs didn't want to see me, though, in the Rose Bowl. They deliberately lost to Michigan.
And thank you, Eddie. Don't take the bait.
You know, we always had this debate. He had a greatest day against against Northwestern. I mean, what you had that day?
If y'all would have beat Michigan, Eddie, we wouldn't even be having this conversation.
You're right. We wouldn't be having this conversation. And
all
you might
that
not
talent.
Have been the number one pick overall in the draft if we played.
That is Eddie George on the Goodyear Hotline, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Eddie.
All right, Eddie.
Thanks, Coach. Keyshawn, Jay, Will.
Man. All right, baby.
M-Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. All the stuff he thought was corny as a player. Now he's beating his kids in the head with that. He's coaching with the same stuff. From Bayou Bengals to the Cincinnati Bengals, nothing has really changed.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You hear that music here on KJM on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, Sirius XM Channel 80 in your smart speakers. Key observation time. Key observations is brought to you by Geico. Hype, happy, Geico-ween. See, I almost said hypey because the Geico came after happy. I put the two together.
Take it away,
happy,
Key.
Happy, Geico-ween. Switch to Geico and see if saving money is in your future.
Number one,
the Cincinnati Bengals. Think about this, Jay. The Bengals, they haven't won the division since 2015. They sit in the top of the AFC North right now, in head the Baltimore Ravens in front of the Browns as well. That hasn't happened since 2015. Mm. I mean, it's unbelievable to think that Joe Burrow a year ago was making progress prior to his injury. He's bounced back. That was one of the things in question. Where would his mind be when he came back off an ACL injury? Right now, he's playing like an MVP candidate, probably won't get it because there's some guys in front of him that are a little bit better. But when you think about pairing him with Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Boyd, mixing in the backfield, and an emerging defense, this team could make a run and go a long ways in the playoffs.
Number two.
Now we talk about Aaron Rodgers. Aaron damn Rodgers. I keep trying to tell everybody, they won't listen to me. He ain't going nowhere. As soon as he wins the Super Bowl or gets to the Super Bowl, he'll be extending his contract in Green Bay and saying they worked everything out. And we'll all be like, okay, cool, that's what it is. He took care of business again yesterday against the Washington football team, although it started off slow. That defense is starting to gel under Joe Barry and starting to look like a team that could contend in the AFC and the NFC and win the Super Bowl.
Number three,
the Raiders. The Raiders are 2-0. Without their former head coach in John Gruden. Rich Bisaccia has come in and done a tremendous job. They put it on him yesterday. I mean, Carr was slicing and dicing. You think about Philadelphia, got off to a 7-0 start, and you were like, oh, God, here we go. Here goes the Raiders. All the Raiders did was run off 30 unanswered points. This team is totally different. Different wide receivers in the lineup, different tight end in the lineup. Carr's delivering the ball to everybody, not just Waller, who didn't actually play yesterday. Now they're off to a 2-0 start, and they're in top. They're in front within their division.
Number four.
Kyler Murray versus Aaron Rodgers. Mighty Mouse, as I like to call him. Slicing and dicing, getting it done. Could it be that he needs to show everybody and the Arizona Cardinals need to show the world that is somewhat questioning what type of team this is, that they could take care of business against the Green Bay Packers and will be legit contenders to go to the Super Bowl? I think so. And vice versa for Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers against the Arizona Cardinals. If they show that they're legit contenders by taking care of the only undefeated team in the National Football League.
Number five
for James. James Steele, one of our producers. The Kansas City Chiefs better get it together. They better get it together. Or else they will be at home for Christmas. They will not be looking to extend their vacation. Yes, that is correct, James. They must okay. Get it turned around quickly, both on the defensive side as well as Aaron Rodgers, well as Patrick Mahomes on the offensive side of the ball. Jay, I don't know what I missed. This is my top five.
Yeah, I don't think you missed anything. The only thing I would add in, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, was I just saw a tweet from Drew Rosenhaus yesterday, who's a big-time football agent, talking about the whole, you know, Deshaun Watson situation, considering that the Dolphins lost to the Atlanta Falcons, and said, go get Watson, do what it takes. This franchise needs him now. And it just, when I'm seeing Tua address rumors after the game and the post-game presser more about Deshaun Watson, it just feels like this energy continues to get bigger and bigger and bigger for the Dolphins, considering they keep losing and losing games.
What are they, 1-6 now?
1-6
now.
Yeah,
they
play the Bills next before they get that remedy going to play the Texans, which could be a tricky game too.
I don't mean to do this to Brian Flores, but I'm going to do it anyway. Why is it that Bill Belichick assistants can't seem to figure it out? They just can't seem to figure it out.
I will say it again. I don't want to get sidetracked because I always yelled at people when they brought this up because I say Belichick won 11 games, 10 with Matt Castle that year. Without Brady, this is how people live. It's hard to win in the NFL. It's even hard for Belichick.
I'm not talking about Belichick. I'm talking about his assistants.
Yeah, like they can't win at all. You would think some of them would have, there's so many, like, some of them would have some success.
Like if I coached under Bill Belichick and then I left to get a head coaching job somewhere.
Some of them should be over 500 sometimes,
it's
right?
It's so weird to me. And I know eventually Bill O'Brien kind of got things going. In Houston, his demise was he became the controller, the general manager. That's kind of where he went south at because as a coach, he was okay. Yeah. He was a playoff coach. But it's just like, well, I could go down a long list Eric Mangini to Josh McDaniels.
Genius.
To
Matt Patricia.
To
Charlie Weiss.
With Charlie in college. Or Romeo Crennel. Yeah. And now Brian Flores. It's just like.
Joe Judge.
It was like, God, what happened? Yeah. And then when you look at some of the records of personnel people that came from Bill Belichick and moved on, they too struggled to turn things. I mean, I know Atlanta, they went to the Super Bowl, but when you look at it as a whole, some of those personnel people, Scott Pioli in the game, it's just like, damn.
No doubt. I want to get to this at some point, maybe this week, but Tom Brady, MVP, Matthew Stafford. There's some other observations from the weekend.
I have to say, Key, you did miss one assistant who went on to be a good head coach.
Who?
Nick Saban. Nick Saban did serve as an assistant.
That is absolutely
under Bill Belichick in Cleveland. He did go on to have a pretty good career.
100%. You can't overlook the greatest NFL coach ever spawned in a way. The greatest college coach ever.
But Nick Saban kind of went out on his own and stayed there, right? He didn't, because he went out to college and kind of just stayed in the college fray. Because as an NFL as an NFL dude in Miami, it didn't go so well.
But let's not overlook the fact that maybe the answer is the Belichick model works for almost no one. But when it works, like Saban, it works in an enormous way. Maybe that's the answer.
But see, I don't know that Nick Saban
has the Belichick model. Right.
The model.
Maybe that's
the answer. I think he created his own model that his assistants can't seem to beat him
on. It's the same thing. Yeah. Although they have success.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
ESPN NFL analyst Rex Ryan's about to give us some straight talk here on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio. Straight talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Coach, we were just talking about this, and here you are. Why don't you think it works for Belichick assistants, the latest being Brian Flores in Miami? Why does it not work for Belichick assistants?
Two things I can think of. First off, they're not Bill Belichick. So I think so many of these guys take these jobs and they try to be Bill Belichick, you know, the Patriot way, but they try to be Bill Belichick, and they're not. Players see through it. How many times? I mean, we all can see through a phony, right?
Yeah.
And so be yourself. But either way, that's one reason they fail. The other reason, they don't have Tom Brady. Like, if you had Tom Brady, you got a chance to win. It's like they take these jobs, and all of a sudden, what makes the Patriots was the fact they had named Tom Brady for 20 years. What makes Bill Belichick great is because that's who Bill Belichick is. And it never works for anybody being somebody you're not.
Yeah.
You know, if all of a sudden I'm going to be like, hey, I'm Bill Belichick, dude, I wouldn't win a damn game. You know what I mean? So be yourself. Players will see right through that.
No, it's true. And I've been with, obviously, Bill Parcells, Bill Belichick, but a guy that people don't talk about, his tree.
They're killing the game.
No, Tony Dungy's tree. People don't talk about Tony Dungy's tree. Tony Dungy tree, Herm Edwards, okay, Mike Tomlin.
Mm, pretty good.
Coach Caldwell and Lovie Smith. All of them coached in the Super Bowl except Herm. But nobody ever mentions that. And then guess where that started from? The late Denny Green. So when you start, and none of those guys have the same personality. Because they don't all try to beat Tony. None of them is TD. They got their own personalities. That's pretty wild, huh?
That is interesting, Rex. It's a combination not only of, look, he had Tom Brady as his quarterback. And by the way, when he was a D coordinator, he had Lawrence Taylor on his defense.
That's not bad.
That's not bad. But in addition to that, he is himself. Yeah. And not only, and these assistants, they don't have Tom Brady or Lawrence Taylor, and maybe they're trying to do Bill Belichick a little too hard. It's a combination of both that undermines
it. That's exactly what I think. Yeah. I mean, I really do. And look, there's a – and I don't doubt for a second, a lot of those assistant coaches, smart guys, man. I mean, they are. Mm-hmm. But it just hadn't worked.
All right, well, let's talk about the coach. Because yesterday they put the smack down on the Jets, 54-13. It was embarrassing. It was really bad. Mac Jones actually came out of the game. Brian Hoyer was in the game. Right. I don't think Mac Jones thought he was going to be in a situation like that at the start of the year. What do you make of that game for the Jets?
Well, I mean, first off, it just shows a great football coach knows how to get the most out of his players. He's got a young rookie quarterback. There's no, I mean, you're going into it the same. You got a rookie quarterback yourself. But here's the difference. One guy is one of the best coaches in the history of this game, and the other guy, I don't know what the hell he is, but if you give up over 50 points after a bye.
I was about to ask you, have you ever got smacked like that after a bye?
Never. I've never been smacked like that in my life.
Against
like,
a rookie quarterback.
A rookie quarterback especially. Look, and I get it. Hey, nobody beats a Bill Belichick coach team with a rookie quarterback. I get that, right? I did it twice. But anyway, I always throw it in there, right? I always do it twice. I did it with Gino, and I did it with Mark Sanchez, so I get it.
You know, the little germ spreader's in my ear. He wants me to let you know in 2010 on a Monday night game after a bye, the Patriots put it on you. Oh, it wasn't after a bye, but they put it on him.
Oh, they absolutely did. They beat me 45-3.
He's a germ spreader.
No, but I'm telling you, they put it on me 45-3. It certainly wasn't after a bye. And the other thing is, later, 6 weeks later, we beat them in the playoffs, I think. So I'm not so sure. But
it's never happened before. That's why you did it, apparently.
I mean, I'm telling you this. This was an embarrassment. By the way, Tom Brady was on the other sideline, not a rookie quarterback.
Rex, though, when you, as a coach, though, you've been doing this almost cursed so long.
Yeah.
Whether it's assistant, head coach, whatever. Does this team, and I don't want you to be critical of the coaching staff, so to speak, but do they look,
be.
I know, but do they look organized? Because me from an outsider looking in and just watching from TV and texting with everybody, I'm like, they don't look like they know what the hell they're doing.
Well, what happens is you got an inexperienced coaching staff. The head coach, obviously, he's inexperienced. It's the first time he's ever been a head coach. I get it. But so are his assistants.
Yes.
And so to me, it's a bad combination. And you've got a rookie quarterback. So what it looks like now, like why does Zach Wilson look so lost? Because he is lost. Tell me what they stand for. What the hell are the Jets offense about? I don't know. And so are they firing it down the field? Are they, they don't know who they have at that quarterback. Where Bill Belichick on the other hand knows exactly what he has. All right, hey, you know what? How many screens are the Jets going to give up, by the way? Are you speaking of bad football? How many dang screens are they giving up? Like, what the hell, dude?
And he's a defensive-minded head coach.
Yeah, defensive-minded head coach. I get it.
So it's like McVay, they make sure Wade Phillips is there. You got to have someone with some gravitas and experience on the staff.
Absolutely, Max. But what happens now, the agents control the games now. So the agents pick the coaches
yeah.
to go to different spots.
They don't know what the hell they doing.
No, and then what they do. But the owners all are behind these guys.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not the way it used to be. But and what do? They don't hire the best assistants. They hire guys, Jay Will, my agent has you.
Yeah.
We'll get you
yeah.
with this
yeah.
guy.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mesh. It doesn't mesh all the time. That's kind of what we're seeing, I think, right now with the Jets.
So I'm gonna be your agent now, though. Okay? I want to get you hired. How much will it take for you to do my DC job for me? How much?
Yeah, it's never going to happen.
Why?
Because
I got a team that you may be able to fix, and you're going to tell me what's wrong with them. The Kansas City Chiefs. Why
okay,
can't
like I say,
get
I'll
you?
Take that job.
Why can't I get you?
Never going to happen. Okay,
why can't I get you?
You got Patrick Mahomes? Wait a second now.
What's,
all bets
what's
are off on
that. What's
wrong
with the Kansas City Chiefs other than the obvious, which is the defense?
Yeah,
which
their
I
defense
think
absolutely
somebody
sucks.
Like you probably could fix, but I'm not.
Yeah, but when I look at it this way, there's two things. Number one, that offensive line is awful. They've given up more pressures than any team in the league.
They don't even have to bring extra guys.
Any team in the league. But their defense, like, hey, everybody, they did a great job stopping Derrick Henry. What? Part of Derrick Henry running the football is the fact you got one-on-ones in the outside and you didn't do anything to stop the Brown kid. Like, it was a beatdown. So Kansas City can't stop the run. They can't stop the pass. They can't generate a pass rush with a four-man rush. If they send guys, they can't cover anybody in the back end. And so to me, it looks like a dang disaster.
Well,
yeah,
look,
Ryan
they had
Tannehill
to fix the line.
Jump man on him.
They tried to fix the line.
Man, was that George Irvin?
He did the jump man logo.
He did.
I mean,
that.
Like, we out here making Ryan Tannehill. He's one of the most special quarterbacks in the league.
He did that a couple years ago. Two years ago, and almost got hurt doing that. I wouldn't advise him to.
Somebody said Michael Jordan.
That.
It's not that. But remember George Gervin back in my day?
Yeah, finger right.
The ice
man.
George Gervin with the
ice
absolutely.
Man.
That's what it looks like.
Thank you, Coach. Appreciate it. A double revenge game that was closer than it should have been. A double revenge game. That's next.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.